Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we come again to ask Thy blessing upon the preaching of Thy Word. We pray, O God, that You will apply it to each one of our hearts. Cleanse my heart afresh of the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with Thy Holy Spirit, and enable me to preach Thy Word. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. Amen. Our text of Scripture tonight is the verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 10. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. I want to turn your attention this evening to the center theme of the Bible, which is God's Word. To the center theme of the Gospel, God's gift to man. The center theme of our preaching, the Lord Jesus Christ. The center of Christianity is Christ. The center of a Christian's life must be Christ. They must be Christ-like. What we will be preaching tonight will be centered on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Take Christ out of Christianity, and you have no message, you have no hope, and you have no salvation. I would be better to stay at home if I preached not Christ, the Savior of sinners. Bishop J.C. Ryle, the first Anglican Bishop of Liverpool, had these words inscribed in his pulpit, the words of the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The great Apostle Paul realized that his ministry and his preaching would be in vain if he preached not the gospel. And now I want us to turn to the heart of the gospel, to the person of the gospel. And I trust that you will see Jesus now as you've never seen him before. If you're saved tonight by God's grace, that you will rejoice tonight and you will worship the Savior, that you will worship the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will feel the presence of Jesus in your heart tonight, and that you will be thrilled with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God's children, we should be thrilled with the very fact that we have God's Son dwelling in our heart. Christ in us, the hope of glory. This world is not always a place of joy and happiness, but thank God, if we're saved, we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd and as our only hope for eternity. The verse 12 starts off, but this man. And I want us simply to look tonight who this man is, what this man has done, and what this man is able to do for you tonight if you're not saved in this meeting. First of all, who this man is. But this man, wonderful man of Calvary. He's the Son of God. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. What do these verses mean? They simply mean that God spake at different times and in different ways to the fathers through the prophets. In Genesis chapter 6, we see that God revealed his plan to destroy the world by a flood to Noah, and also to plan to save Noah and his family and the animals. God spoke to Noah and gave Noah the word that the world was going to be destroyed by a flood. In Genesis chapter 19, God revealed his plan to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah to Lot. And two angels came with the message to Lot, and they told him to flee from the wrath to come. And you know, sometimes we have read that, the story of Lot, and how the city was taken over by the Sodomites. And we found that hard to believe. But you know, in the day and age that you and I live, it's not so hard to believe it. Because they are spreading their wings right throughout society. My dear friend, we need to realize that God's word, when it was revealed to Lot, was to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin. And the prevalent sin was that of sodomy. Exodus 3:2, God spake to Moses out of the burning bush, and God called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he stood in amazement at that burning bush, and he heard the voice of God. But gone are the prophetic messages. Now all is changed. Jesus has become our prophet, our priest, and our king. And Hebrews 1 verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. All has been revealed in Jesus Christ. We have complete word of God in the Bible. This wonderful man of Calvary is God's Son, the second person of the Trinity. You see, there is people who claim to be prophets today. I remember a man doing a mission in 1969. I hope I'm right or I'll get the trouble when I go home. The year that I was married. That's a long time ago. But there was a character, and he prophesied that the streets of Londonderry would run red with blood the day that we were married. Because I had dared to challenge him on his Pentecostal views. And we listened, and we looked at the papers, and there wasn't a shot fired nor a stone fired on that day. It was a false prophet. And there's a lot of false prophets about today. But thank God we do not have to listen to false prophets. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. All has been revealed in Jesus Christ. This wonderful man of Calvary is God's Son, the second person of the Trinity. Does it not thrill your heart to realize that Jesus was not a mere good man, but the mighty God of heaven? God manifest in the flesh. Isaiah the prophet tells us in chapter 9 in the verse 6, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The mighty God. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. What a wonderful man. Not only was he the Son of God, but he was the God-man. God and man in human flesh. When we come to John's Gospel in the chapter 1, in the first one, it tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if you go down to the verse 14, it tells us, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We can go back to the first verse and we can say, in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. The man Christ Jesus was God veiled in human flesh. And John chapter 1 and the verse 29, we read there of John the Baptist. And when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." The Son of God, he was the God-man. You know, most false religions don't believe that Jesus Christ was God, including the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses that come to your door, and they're so nice. They do not believe that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. I want to ask you tonight, do you know that Jesus was the Son of God? Do you believe tonight that Jesus was the God-man, the second person of the triune God in human flesh? I trust that you do. What a wonderful, wonderful man Jesus was. But this man, I want us to go to our second point. What this man hath done. In verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. The old priesthood, the tabernacle, the door, the brazen altar and the laver was gone forever. Jesus offered up one sacrifice for sins to God. The death of the Lord Jesus on Calvary was a sacrifice for sins. What a wonderful sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ made. The wrath of God for sin was poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. In the verse 12 of the previous chapter, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You see, God hates sin. God judges sin. And God will punish sin. And we seem in the day and age in which you and I live to have forgotten that God hates sin. Because we accept in the world in which you and I live that all that God has condemned as sin, of course it's all right. We're living in 2011. Things have changed and we must modernize and we must come up to date. And really, these things that was called sin by our fathers and our grandfathers and great-grandfathers is really not sin. But my dear friend, what God calls sin has always been sin and will always be sin. And it cannot be changed because it is the unalterable word of the living God. And when God says, "Thou shalt not steal," he means it. When God says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," he means it. When God says, "Thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy," he means it. And when we take the Ten Commandments and put that ruler to our lives, we see how far short we fall from the law of God. And God hates sin. And God judges sin and God will punish sin. God punished the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, as we have said. And each man, woman, boy or girl who dies without his or her sins having been dealt with will be punished for their sins. Make no mistake. The Revelation chapter 20 and the verse 15 tells us, "Cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You see, God is coming in judgment. And all sinners, all unrepentant sinners, are going to be cast into the lake of fire to be punished for their sin. And if you're sitting in this church tonight, and you're not saved, and you remain unsaved, you will be punished in the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. That's what the Word says. But Jesus, because he was the sinless Son of God, was an acceptable sacrifice, an offering to God for sin. In the Old Testament, the lamb was slain. The blood was shed. The blood was a type of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that would be shed on Calvary. But this man, the Lord Jesus, did what you and I could not do, is pay the debt that we owe for our sin. He became the substitute, the only Savior, the only salvation from sin. I remember years ago when I was in business selling a woman a washing machine. Of course, woman used to wash with a washing board. And then they got the washing machine and they pressed the button. But this young woman had bought a washing machine and she said, I'll be in to pay you at the end of the month. And there's no doubt she intended to. But when the end of the month came, she hadn't the money. But she had the courtesy to come in and say, I can't pay it. You see, there's a lot of people today who get stuff, they don't pay it, and they never bother about going to tell the people that they can't pay it and start to try to pay it. But she said, next month, I'll be in to pay it. The next month came, and she came in tears. And she said, I can't pay it because we got a solicitor's bill or whatever it was, and I really can't pay it. And I said, dear, go home. I knew the family well. And I said, when you can pay it, pay it. Some weeks later, this man came in and he said, does Mrs. So-and-so owe you money for a washing machine? I said, who are you? He said, I'm her father. And he said, she can't pay it. Will you make out the bill for it and mark it paid? And he took out his checkbook and he paid for it. And I marked it paid and he folded up the receipt and he said, I'm going to take this and give it to my daughter. And he said, she will then know that her debt has been paid because she couldn't do it. And my dear friend, in a very simple way, the great eternal God of heaven, we owe a debt to him that we cannot pay and will never be able to pay. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ paid it for us at the place called Calvary. Oh, what a wonderful day that was when the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and satisfied and was able to pay the debt that we owe for our sins upon the middle cross. What a wonderful Savior we have. Purchased salvation on the cross of Calvary. One offering of the Lord Jesus Christ was all that was required. What suffering, what wrath of God was poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus was acceptable to God for the sins of his people. He was a perfect substitute. He was a perfect sacrifice. And he provides a perfect salvation, this wonderful man of Calvary. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything that he did was for his people. He was born sinless on behalf of his people. He lived a perfect life and never once sinned on behalf of his people. He went to the cross of Calvary and he suffered there for the sins of his people upon the middle cross. And he shed his precious blood for his people. He rose again the third day over death, hell, and the grave for his people. And he ascended up into heaven for his people. And thank God, every child of God saved by precious blood, that's a child of the King, will one day be with him in heaven. Rise at the resurrection. What a day that is going to be. Perfect substitute. What the Lord Jesus Christ has done for man upon the middle cross. I want to ask you this evening, do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died upon the middle cross for your sins? Has God the Holy Ghost opened your heart and revealed to you your sinfulness? And you can see your sins past, your sins present. And you know that you owe a debt to God for your sins that you cannot pay. But I wonder, has the Lord Jesus Christ, has the Holy Spirit revealed to you that Jesus Christ died for your sins upon the cross of Calvary? Because if he has, then you can come and call upon him and thank God he will save you. Who this man is, what this man has done, but what this man is able to do for you tonight. He sat down on the right hand of God. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Isn't that wonderful? That God's Son left heaven's glory, he came down, he accomplished what he came to do, and he returned, and he seated at the right hand of the Father. Died for sin, rose again for our justification. Because Jesus died and rose again, and is alive forevermore at God's right hand, you tonight can have your sins washed away. Your sin must be dealt with. Do you realize that you personally are a sinner? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And you know, I've stood at hundreds of doors, and people have said, oh, but I believe that everybody's a sinner. Sure, the Bible tells us that. And then I would say to them, but do you believe that you personally are a sinner? Ah, but that's a different matter. But you know, I'm not so bad after all. But the boy down the street, or the boy in the farm, or down the road, he's far worse than me. And you know, I go to church, and I've been baptized, and I take Holy Communion, and I do this, and I do that, and I'm really not that bad. And they have no concept that they are sinners in the sight of God. And until you get to the stage that you say that I, like sheep, have gone astray, you've got to get yourself to the position where you say, I am a sinner. I have broken God's law. I was born a sinner. I have practiced as a sinner. And I am guilty before you, the eternal God of heaven. You will never, ever be saved or be in God's heaven. God did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In 1 John 1:9 it tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, sin troubles most people. It bothers them to some degree. But they are not willing to confess their sins. Met a man some time ago, and he said, you know, he'd committed adultery. And he said, you know, it wasn't me committed adultery. It was the devil. And I said, you know what, you're talking a load of nonsense. The devil tempted you. God gave you a way of escape, and you didn't take it, and you personally committed adultery. And until you recognize that, you will never have forgiveness. There must be confession of our sin. There must be a repentance and a turning from our sin to serve the living God. You can have your sins washed away. You can become a son of God. The Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Born into God's family. What a wonderful salvation we have. Cleansed from our sin. Brought into God's family. As a child of God. As a child of the King. But not only that, we receive new life. John 10, verse 10, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." God does not save someone to make them miserable. God saves you to give you joy in your heart. Joy that your sins are gone. Joy that you're a child of the King. Joy that you have Christ dwelling in your heart. The life of the saved is a real life. It's a daily walk with God. It's a fellowship with God's people. The life in Christ is not a killjoy, but it's a genuine joy in our hearts day by day. You can have your sins washed away. You can become a child of God. You can have new life in Christ Jesus. But thank God, you can have a home in heaven. John 14 tells us, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Thank God for every person that's in heaven tonight, because Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood for their sins. The Old Testament saints were saved in the same way as you and I are saved, but they were looking towards the cross of Calvary, and they saw in the little lamb that was being, blood was being shed, they saw it typified the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I look back and we see with a clearer picture, because we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have the history recorded of the sacrifice that was made for us. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." And you know, my dear friend, I think the day is drawing nigh when Jesus is coming again. That's a different subject. What a wonderful man the Lord Jesus Christ is. What a wonderful salvation Jesus has provided. What a wonderful invitation Jesus offers to you now. I want to ask you, are you in Christ tonight? Have you been saved? And John 10 and verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Have you entered tonight through the door into God's salvation? If you haven't, then you will never, ever be in God's heaven. You see, people tell us that John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And they say, everybody's going to be saved because God loved the world. What does the text say? "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth." Hell is full of people who believed that God was love, but they weren't believers. "That whosoever believeth." And my dear friend, tonight, I want to ask you in the closing moments of this service, have you this man of Calvary, this wonderful man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, in your heart? Have you received him as your Savior? Have you entered in through the door into God's salvation? And can you say, yes, tonight, I am saved through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you can, then you can rejoice and you can go home rejoicing. But I wonder, is there someone here in the meeting tonight? And God has opened your heart and you have realized your sinfulness and you know that you have a debt that you owe to God that you cannot pay. But tonight he has revealed to you his Son, who paid the debt for you upon the cross of Calvary. And I want to ask you tonight, will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you willing to confess your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to turn from your sin and call upon the name of the Lord and be gloriously and wonderfully saved? I trust that if God has spoken to you tonight, that you will come, not to a church. Church can't save you. Not to a preacher. The preacher can't save you. But come to God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will save you if you come and put your trust and faith in him. And then you will have your sins washed away. Then you will be a child of God. Then you will have new life. And then you will have a new home in heaven when you leave this scene of time. Is there anything more worth living for in this old world than what God has purchased for us when he sent his Son to be our Savior into this sin-cursed world? Oh, I trust if God has spoken to you, if we can be of any help to you, we can't save you. But we can take God's word and we can point you to the verses of Scripture and to the Christ of God. And you can call upon the name of the Lord and be gloriously and wonderfully saved. Let's bow together in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, we thank thee for all that he has done for us. And we thank thee for those that are saved tonight. And for those that are not saved, we pray that you will work in their hearts. We realize that salvation is of the Lord. We realize it is the work of God, the Holy Ghost, that convinces and convicts and converts a soul. And we pray tonight that there might be those who will be converted, that the Holy Spirit will work upon. Lord, we pray now that you will part us the one from the other, take us to our homes in safety and bless us in the days that lie ahead. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. Amen.